Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lee Brekeen. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. Today's show is going to have some different topics. One's going to be about the LSU football team for 2021. I'm going to give my 2 cents on an early prediction, away early. It could change. I might do a second one after spring, but going into for next football season, kind of give you my opinion of LSU and where they are talent-wise, if some things happen. And also Alabama. How good will Alabama be in 2021? People are not going to like my answer. And also the NFL draft. We're going to talk about the NFL draft, how it's top-heavy with quarterbacks. Man, this is going to rival the 1983 NFL draft that had Tony Eason, John Elway, Dan Marino, several big-time quarterbacks that ended up being really great players. We're also going to talk about NFL jobs. You know, the Eagles are still trying to hire a coach, and also Jacksonville, and there might be others. I'm wondering if Pittsburgh's going to have an opening. You never know. We're going to talk about, go ahead and go into LSU and talk about the juggernaut that's going to happen, and we're going to talk about the national championship game a little bit too, but you know, the talent level at Alabama, no one even comes close even for next year. And I know they lose Patrick Surtain. They lose Najee Harris. They're probably going to lose Mac Jones because he has 2 degrees. And by the way, I think he would come back if he didn't have his degrees. Believe it or not, I think Nick would talk him into coming back. They're going to lose Alex Leatherwood on the offensive line. The fans' most unlikable player, Landon Dickerson, the center. They're going to lose some good players. Dylan Moses will probably go pro, and then again, he might talk him into coming back. And obviously, they're going to lose Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner from Amy, Louisiana. But the bad news is, so we'll start with Alabama. The bad news is Alabama is going to have their deepest team in the history of the team possibly next year for talent. That is scary. They return just about everybody except the players I mentioned. You're going to say, Lee, well, you just mentioned 5 first-round draft picks. Yeah, last year they had 4 first-round draft picks. Didn't faze them. And here's the reason. Nick Saban has built a mentality in Tuscaloosa that revolves around commitment. And he doesn't use the word NFL. It's all about commitment. It's all about team. He never talks or brags about his players unless the season's over. But it's always about team, and it's always about being perfectionist. And they take his personality. It's all about winning championships. And they have an incredible amount of talent coming back. And people say, well, Mac Jones can't be replaced. Well, we've heard this 4 times before, maybe 6 times before, 7 times before, 7 national championships later. They said, he's not going to be able to replace he's not going to be able to replace Greg McElroy. Oh, he's not going to be able to replace A.J. McCarron. Oh, he's not going to be able to replace Tua. You know, you keep saying it, and he keeps replacing these guys. And he's got it again. And he'll probably go get the best graduate transfer quarterback in the country since everybody's eligible to leave. Otherwise, he would probably take Eric Gilbert if he wanted him from LSU. But he's got 1 scholarship left, and I think he's going to take a big-time quarterback. And if he gets the best quarterback out there, somebody that can just leave their college, somebody that's starting and doing phenomenal things, they're going to be right back in it again to be the team to beat. And by the way, Najee Harris, people might say, well, you can't replace Najee Harris. Well, they said that with Mark Ingram. They said that with Richardson. They said that with Eddie Lacy. You know, they said that with several, you know, Derrick Henry. They just keep replacing them, and they've got 5 running backs coming back. 5 really good running backs. I mean, 3 incredible running backs coming back. Their offensive line, even though they lose Alex Leatherwood and Landon Dickerson and Deontay Brown, three really good ones, they've got 10 players coming back that are All-Americans, and then they signed four more All-American O-linemen. It's incredible. They got Billingsley back at tight end, who will be a preseason All-American. And they've got five receivers that are coming back that are all-world that didn't get to play much, even though they're losing Jaylen Waddle, too, and Devontae Smith. But they return Michi. And you saw what Michi can do. He'll be the number one guy, and they've got seven more coming in, and they signed five All-American receivers. In their defensive line, is going to be phenomenal. Now, they do lose the D-tackle Christian Barmore, but they return 12 All-American defensive tackles. And he'll probably talk Chris Allen from Southern Lab of Baton Rouge to come back for his extra year. I guarantee you he'll probably do that. And they lose Patrick Surtain, but they return 13 All-American DBs. It's going to be tough to beat Alabama again next year because everybody's saying what they're losing, and they're always going to replace these guys. Again, look at A.J. McCarron. Oh, they can't replace him. They can't replace Tua. They can't replace Jalen Hurts. They can't replace Greg McElroy, who won two national championships. A.J. McCarron won two national championships. They're going to do it. He's going to do it. And then you have to look at everybody else. So if you're LSU, we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. But LSU has to quit worrying about Alabama because they're in a different hemisphere than them right now. They got to worry about winning all their games, but maybe that game, maybe, you know, you want to win the game, but don't put your whole year and your whole calendar on that one game. Because right now, to beat Alabama again, we'll talk about that when we come back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkine. We'll be right back.
Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkine, your host. Today's topic is LSU. How good will they be this year? Alabama is going to be as good. We just covered that. I'm going to talk about the NFL draft and all the great quarterbacks later in the show. And also talk about some other things like no fans this year, how that's had an impact on all the different sporting events. And also jersey changes. There's a big change with kids in high school changing their jersey numbers every year. And how do I know that? Because I'm watching film like college coaches. It's getting confusing. Little opinion, little advice out there for parents and kids about changing your jersey two or three times. I'll tell you that later in the show. But to get to LSU, we talked about Alabama. Alabama's going to be better defensively next year. They're going to be just as good offensively. Trust me, they're going to. The biggest loss that Alabama had is losing their offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian, to Texas. That's the biggest loss Saban's had. But he's going out there and he's going to hire an ex-NFL head coach who's an offensive genius. He gets whoever he wants. Sarkisian he's incredible, man. And I talked to some high school coaches that agree with me, but that national championship game, he was phenomenal with the play calling. Was just perfection. I mean, the guys in suit. Now, when he was fired from Washington as the head coach, Sarkisian, he didn't have a great career at Washington. Remember LSU beat them in Seattle? You know, many moons ago. And remember, he was fired from USC. He had a little problem with the bottle there. And he goes to Alabama. He straightens up. He was fired from Atlanta as the offensive coordinator, Atlanta Falcons. But Saban knew that this guy was a genius. He's got a great knack for hiring people on top of everything else he does. But that's the biggest loss for Alabama is losing Steve Sarkisian. I don't know if they can replace him. He can get the greatest coaches out there, but man, that guy, if he can recruit and he can just concentrate on Texas,
then Jimbo Fisher now has somebody that's going to be a thorn in you know what, because all of the momentum that Jimbo had is kind of dying out a little bit with the hiring of Sarkisian in Austin, Texas. I mean, I think he's going to kill it in recruiting. I really do. But to turn our attention to LSU, what does LSU have to do to get their program on track again? They had momentum. They beat Florida and Ole Miss back-to-back to end the season to finish a decent, respectable 5-5 so they didn't have a losing season. What does LSU have to do? Well, for one, they have to return all their good players that were not going to go in the first round of the draft. And I think if this holds up, Orgeron has accomplished the number one thing he needed to do, and that's return most of his guys that were not going to go in the first round of the draft, meaning stop talking about the NFL, stop pushing that NFL card, because it's hurting what you're trying to build. And again, that's not what Alabama does. They don't talk about the NFL all day long, about how they need to go pro. And finally, you know what happens? Then you're trying to keep them from going pro, and you can't. So the number one goal, I think, was accomplished by getting all these linemen back on the offensive line and defensive line, because they didn't recruit super great, or he's lost a lot of guys, you know? I mean, here you are, you've probably lost Gilbert at tight end, who's a program changer on offense. Possibly. I hope they get him. I hope he doesn't leave, but he looks like he's flirting with the idea of going to an opponent, which is not good. And Appa, the big defensive tackle nose guard from Utah, people say, well, the scheme changed. No, you lost your best recruit, your D-line recruit, in your recruiting class 2 years ago. That has to stop. But the number one thing has been accomplished. Glenn Logan's coming back on D-line. Ollie Gay's coming back at defensive end. Austin Daklis is coming back on the offensive line at tackle. Ed Ingram has announced he's coming back. Chasen Hines, that was wise because he wasn't going to get drafted. One player hasn't announced it. That's Dare Rosenthal from Faraday, Louisiana. And hopefully he'll come back on the offensive line. They said everybody's said they're coming back, but he hasn't announced. And he needs to, because he's not going to get drafted if he goes pro. He's not ready to be a starter in the NFL. And he won't get drafted. If they think you're a project and you're a developmental guy, they won't draft you. Maybe round 7, which you might not make the team. But here's the thing in a nutshell. Number 2. LSU has a quarterback for the future in Max Johnson. It's very important. Number 3, they had a good enough recruiting class to keep the talent at a level they need to be to compete with everybody but Alabama. Wasn't the greatest recruiting class ever, but it was another great class to keep the talent where it needs to be. They need to finish strong in recruiting. They need to add another linebacker, I think, another corner, and maybe another old lineman for the future, because they're going to graduate a lot of guys that are coming back for this team. Number 4, they need to hire the right defensive coordinator. They've got to get the right defensive coordinator that meshes with the other players, the coaches. 5, they hired the right offensive coordinator. I think this young guy from Carolina Panthers is going to be a really good coach for them. DJ Mangus is also a guy that was at LSU that's going to help the passing game. And I think they brought them together jointly, I think, from Carolina, because the chemistry. Steve Ensminger and the experiment Linehan did not have the chemistry. Those guys were not, you could tell, they were not in sync. So chemistry is everything. They have the right coaches together. And if all these things play out the way I mentioned, those 5, and 6 is attitude. The attitude's got to be back to winning games and being a team. team needs to be together. They need to be one. And six, guys not opting out during the season. Hopefully that's been corrected and people see it's not the greatest decision in the world. Look at Devontae Smith. Look what he did to come back. He won the Heisman Trophy for Alabama, from Amite, Louisiana. Ja'Marr Chase is more talented, I think, than Devontae, though. They're different. They're both great players. Don't get me wrong. But Ja'Marr Chase had the greatest season ever prior to this one as a receiver. It was online to have another great year. Now he's going to probably get drafted behind Devontae Smith. That's going to be a few million dollars he lost. Kids, pay attention to this. The whole opt-out thing is not guaranteed that you're going to be a top five pick. You got to play through it. Devontae Smith said, I'm going to be a team player. I'm going to play through it. He wins the Heisman Trophy. They couldn't stop him in the national championship game. 215 yards in the first half as a receiver. He had like 12, what, 9 or 10 catches in the first half? Maybe 12? LSU, if they can get the mentality back as a team, stop all this opt-out nonsense to guys that aren't going to go in the first round or not going to go in the top 10 picks, finish strong in recruiting, get the right D coordinator, build around Max Johnson and the experienced offensive line they're going to have back. They're going to have a great running game next year, by the way. They've signed some really great running backs to go with the backs they have. And seven, if they can get Eric Gilbert to come back. If they can get Eric Gilbert to come back, you're looking at a guy to catch 60, 70 passes for you now that he's mature. And, you know, he went through that first year and he had 50 catches almost. If he would have played in those final three games, he would have had 50 catches at least. He had 35 for the season. If they can do all these things, I think they could be a two-loss team next year. 10-2. They could actually probably be a one-loss team if they can I don't think all seven of these things are going to happen, but if they could. And let's say a lot of these things don't happen. They don't get Gilbert back. They don't get the right D coordinator. They don't change the mentality of the program of where they're just promoting the NFL. You don't even have to promote the NFL to sign players if you're LSU. Think about it. They have four national championships at the school. It's a great school. Kids love the school. They got thousands of kids that want to go to LSU. You don't have to promote the NFL. You can just promote, come to LSU, get a great education, and play for one of the top programs in the country. The sale doesn't have to be come here and go to the NFL. It doesn't need to be used. And then you got the best kicker coming back in the country, Cade York. They got the best freshman punter coming in for LSU out of West Monroe, Louisiana, that I've seen since Donnie Jones came from Catholic High. And he's way more advanced than Donnie is coming out of high school. There's a lot of possibilities. But if most of the things that I mentioned come true, it could be a two or one loss team. And I'll tell you what, it could be one of those one loss teams, could be one of those special teams if they can get Eric Gilbert back, get the right D coordinator, keep the guys together. Guys stop worrying about the NFL and worrying about playing the game, the season coming up, not the NFL. Play as a team, and you got a great young quarterback coming up. You got Nussmeier coming in behind him. Finley, if he sticks around, could compete. He's got a great arm. He just needs to work on his footwork. Kishon Butte is a great receiver to build around with also Jenkins from Gina, Louisiana, who had a great year. You've got some great young defensive players you can build around Ollie Gay and Glenn Logan. And, you know, you got Ricks coming back and Stingley in the secondary, and you've got a great-looking secondary coming up. Man, you got some great-looking kids that are
They have to play. Dwight McLaughlin's going to be a good player from Texas who played this year a lot, looked really good. Andre Anthony's going to have a – he's got a chance to be a great defensive end next year for LSU. Jay Ward had a heck of a year at DB from Georgia. Four interceptions, man. He had some great, great games at the end of the season against Ole Miss and Florida. Like I said, Peyton Todd's coming in from West Monroe at punter, the best freshman punter in the country. We're going to take a break, but what's wrong with 10-2, right, at the end of the day from 5-5? 10-2 is not going to get you a national championship. It might get in the playoffs. It might get you in the playoffs, but I think realistically, 10-2 is the bar next year. Because the SEC is better next year. Alabama's going to be better. I hate saying it. They're going to be a better, more talented team. So will a lot of the teams. Ole Miss is going to be better next year. Mississippi State, believe it or not, they're going to be good next year. They lost a lot, but he ran off really all the problems. It's going to be a great year again next. Texas A&M's going to be good again next year. They feel it. They believe now. They're building something in College Station. And I didn't think it could happen, and he's actually, Jimbo Fisher's actually doing it. Florida's going to always be good, even though they lost Kyle Trask. They're going to be really, really good next year. Georgia will be really good again next year. They're losing five juniors to the NFL draft, but that's not going to affect them. They're recruiting better than even LSU. They're right behind Alabama and recruiting in Ohio State and Clemson. And by the way, Ohio State's going to be better next year. Even though they lose Justin Fields, they got three All-American quarterbacks on their roster. They return two possible All-American running backs. They return most of their offensive line, and most of their defense is going to be more talented. And they've got five receivers that have a chance to be All-Americans that played this year. They're all freshman receivers. And Clemson's in good hands with their next quarterback. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the NFL draft. And speaking of quarterbacks, all the great quarterbacks, this might be the best quarterback draft in 25 or 30 years. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. We will be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Before we go into the NFL draft and talk about quarterbacks, let's mention something at ULM of Monroe. Terry Bowden was hired. I still can't believe Terry Bowden's the head coach at ULM of Monroe, the old Auburn head coach. He's coached North Alabama. He's coached Akron College. Most people think that Terry Bowden was out of coaching since Auburn, but yeah, he's been coaching. He's the new head coach at ULM of Monroe. He's a big name, and he's the son of Bobby Bowden. He's the brother of Tommy Bowden that coached at Clemson. He hired an old name, a friend of the family, Rich Rodriguez. Rich was the offensive coordinator for his brother at Tulane and at Clemson. Would you ever thought that Rich Rodriguez would be the offensive coordinator at ULM with Terry Bowden if we were talking about this 20 years ago? If you're over the age of 40, would anybody believe that? I mean, think about it. I mean, Terry Bowden was the head coach at Auburn and was a phenomenal coach for a couple of years there. And then Rich Rodriguez was the head coach at Michigan and Arizona. He's the offensive coordinator at ULM and Monroe. I mean, look, take your hat off. I mean, they're getting the all-name team together on the staff. It's a who's who on the staff at ULM and Monroe, man. Who are they going to hire next? They're going to hire Pete Jenkins or something like that? I mean, who else is going to join that staff? Right now, it's the all-name team for the staff. Kudos to ULM and Monroe. I mean, heck, they need it, man. They need some injection there to fire up everybody, fire up the city of Monroe, West Monroe. And I'm going to tell you what, if I live in Monroe or West Monroe or Alexandria or Shreveport and, you know, Terry Bowden's a coach, believe it's going to have a little bit of effect more than somebody that you don't know. He's got to win, right? The name kind of fades if you don't win. But you're bringing in Rich Rodriguez is a heck of a, that's a heck of a mind to come back as your offensive coordinator who had just been the head coach not too many years ago at Arizona and Michigan. It's incredible. They're getting him at a reduced rate considering what he was being paid at Michigan and Arizona when he was one of the top coordinators in the country. He's still a genius. It's a big, big acquisition for ULM of Monroe. Later in the show, I want to mention about no fans, how that's had an impact on basketball and football in these championship games and in the pros. And also, high school kids changing their jerseys now. I remember in the 80s and 90s, you didn't change your jersey. You wore the same number your whole 4 years. It's not the case anymore. We'll talk about that later. But let's go ahead and talk about the NFL draft. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. And we'll be right back, and we'll talk about the top quarterbacks in the NFL draft for 2021. This is going to be a lot of fun. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport-Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Sports Scouting Report. I'm Lee Burkeen, your host. Before we get into our NFL draft, top quarterbacks coming up for the 2021 draft, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, John Harvey Toyota. So, hey, guys, if just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport-Bossier City. Low prices, honest people. Tell them Lee sent you. You're thinking of buying a car, used or brand new, go to any of those locations in Bossier City or Shreveport. Great people they are. Tommy Harvey's a great guy. Loves college sports, high school sports. Let's take a look at the NFL draft. 2021. I like watching NFL draft like probably many of you listening to the show. I started watching NFL draft in 1983, and I'll never forget that was the year, you know, they had so many great quarterbacks drafted, John Elway, Dan Marino, Tony Eason. You know, there's so many great ones that were in that 83 draft that were quarterbacks. This draft's going to have a record amount of quarterbacks. I've got six quarterbacks that could go in the first round. Might end up being seven. My favorite quarterback in the draft is Zach Wilson from Brigham Young. I think he's better than all these other. I think he's better than anybody I've seen. You know, he doesn't have the hype of Mac Jones. He doesn't have the hype of Kyle Trask of Florida. He doesn't have the hype of Trevor Lawrence at Clemson. And he doesn't have the hype of Justin Fields at Ohio State. But what he has is the most talent. He reminds me of Joe Burrow more than any of these other guys. And let's face it, Joe Burrow, the dual-threat quarterback, the guy that can run on his feet when needed and can read all defenses, that's the guy you need. Throw away all the stats. Throw away all the 7-on-7 stats from college ball, spread offenses. Now, you know, these guys make it look easy in college ball with the spread offense, but they also have great receivers too. But Zach Wilson had the least amount of talent around him at Brigham Young. And sure, I know Brigham Young didn't win the national championship, but boy, it was fun watching them try to go undefeated, even though they finished with a couple of losses. Zach Wilson's got a chance to be a phenomenal quarterback. He's 6'3", almost 6'4", about 210, runs a 4.640. He's actually a little quicker than Joe Burrow. He's very cerebral. He's got great touch on his balls. He's phenomenal. Got a cannon arm. Super athletic. These Brigham Young quarterbacks have something to them, man. I mean, going back to Ty Detmer and Jim McMahon, Steve Young, Gifford Nielsen all the way from the beginning. And look, Steve Sarkisian was a quarterback, by the way, at Brigham Young. He holds a lot of records, the new Texas head coach. And Hill's not doing a bad job for the Saints. And then you got Kyle Trask from the University of Florida, who's 6'5", about 240. He's a big guy that you can't hurt him when you blitz him. He's very calm, got a great arm. I think Kyle Trask is going to be a good NFL quarterback. Then you have Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, I think is a work in progress. He's got all the boxes checked because he's 6'6", about 220. He's got a cannon arm. He can run a 4.59 40, but he needs to get better with touch on the ball. He needs to get better when under pressure. When the pocket collapses, he's not as good as some of these other guys that I'm mentioning. We'll get to that with Mac Jones. Then you got Trey Lance from North Dakota State, who's 6'4", 225, runs a 4.5 40. Won three national championships in subdivision 1, 1AA at North Dakota State. Trey Lance might go above a lot of these guys I just talked about. He's a freak of nature talent-wise. Then you have Justin Fields from Ohio State, who hasn't declared yet, but I think he will. He's 6'3", 225, played hurt in that national championship game. We'll get to that, too, later in the show. But you got six quarterbacks that could go in the first round. And then there's Mac Jones. He throws the best ball 15 yards and under in the game. He never throws a bad pass. But then again, he could eat a sandwich with Doritos for 10 minutes before he has a rush on him. And he's got the best talent around him. Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, Michi. You know, all these great players. Jalen Waddell. I mean, they've got with Leatherwood blocking for him and all these great linemen they have. I don't think Mac Jones is going to be a good pro football player. I really don't. I think he's going to be very similar to A.J. McCarron and Greg McElroy. He was a system guy that he knew the game plan. They molded this guy. They coached him up. Sarkisian did a great job. And like past offensive coordinators, they're precise in what they do. Everybody does a perfection job, so that's why it's perfection. The receivers don't drop balls. They run great routes. The offensive line protects you like a fortress. And then Mac Jones is the trigger guy that's very calm and gets the ball to all these guys. I'm not taking anything away from Mac Jones. He had a great game in the national championship game all year long. But when you rush him in an NFL, you're going to be pressured. He doesn't do well under the rush or under pressure. If the pocket collapses, and he's very brittle injury-wise, you notice that too. If he gets hit, he's injury-prone. Very similar to Brody Croyle. Remember Brody Croyle at Alabama, who the Chiefs drafted in the second round, but he stayed hurt. Now, Brody Croyle didn't have the talent around him in Alabama that Mac Jones has, the Jacksonville, Florida native. But Mac Jones better get drafted by a winning team that has a great O-line. If not, again, I don't think he'll be in the NFL very long, similar to Greg McElroy. A little more talent, but McElroy was pretty proficient too. And you got to realize, A.J. McCarron he couldn't miss in college. But A.J. McCarron had all the top players around him. Six really, really good quarterbacks. Who would I take? Zach Wilson. Who would I take behind Zach Wilson? Justin Fields or Trey Lance. Probably Trey Lance. Then Justin Fields, then Trevor Lawrence, then Kyle Trask, then Mac Jones. I wouldn't use a first-round pick on Mac. I would on Najee Harris, Devontae Smith, Alex Leatherwood, Patrick Surtain, but not on Mac Jones. Let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the lack of fans this year and how that's really changed college football and basketball and how it's contributed to where nobody has an edge, even in pro ball. We'll be right back.
Parents, are you looking for advice on getting your high school athlete recruited by the right college? Lee Brekeen is your answer. Lee has been doing it for over 30 years. He knows the ropes, and more importantly, he knows the people. Lee offers turnkey service from evaluation, creating highlight tapes in the correct format, and complete guidelines for effective communication with the schools. No matter the sport, girl or boy, no matter what grade your child is in, let Lee Brekeen help match your child to the right college fit. Go to our website, LAFootballMagazine.com, and get connected today.
Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. And the topic is, this is for the fans listening. This is for people listening, because it's just a great topic. I think it's went through all our brains. Am I the only one that's been watching sports the last 3 months on my couch and thinking about if there were 75,000 fans in the national championship game, would that have helped Ohio State against Alabama? In this game, probably not. But, I mean, you know, when you have that momentum swing in football and you got those loud fans screaming and hollering, you got 75,000 people screaming and probably 50,000 are your fans, it makes a difference. Maybe Mac Jones wouldn't have heard the play. Maybe he couldn't. Maybe the guys wouldn't have heard Mac Jones. You know what I'm saying? It just changes everything. When you watch the bowl games, there's no fans. There's no edge. When you watch LSU basketball the other day, there's no fans at home. There's no edge. These players have to kind of motivate themselves and high-five each other, and they're not getting fired up from fans. There's no noise hardly. There's pumped in, like, noise, but it's not the same. You know, Pittsburgh, I was watching my Pittsburgh Steelers in the playoffs, and they looked horrible. Oh, my gosh, Roethlisberger looks bad. Looks like the days when Terry Bradshaw was about to retire his final year. I think it was 1983 or 84, his final year. They just looked horrible. But there was no fans. There were some, but you can't hear them. But imagine if the Steelers would have had 70,000 fans in that stadium and they would have scored a touchdown and the momentum would have changed and you would have heard all these loud fans. And Baker Mayfield might not have been able to hear the play or get the playoff. What if LSU would have had 85,000 fans against Mississippi State that first game? And Mississippi State wouldn't have been able to hear their plays or the keys or the check. I mean, it's made a difference. It's made a difference. There's no home field advantage in sports right now. We're going to have a Super Bowl in under a month. And I don't even know, will we have a lot more than 25,000 fans? It's not even, again, there's not going to be that extra juice those players need. And the Saints, when they played the other day, the New Orleans Saints against the Bears, there's no home field advantage. Thank God the Bears were not very good on offense. Very good defense. Man, they're good on defense for a bad team. But the Saints have always had that edge when they're playing in the Superdome at home. It's one of the best. It's like playing in Green Bay in the snow for Green Bay. But I will say this. If the Saints are still in this thing and they play in the NFC Championship game to go to the Super Bowl and they have to go to Green Bay and it's just the snow, at least you don't have 70,000 screaming Green Bay fans. It's changed. I mean, am I the only one? I think it's got to be all of us that think this. Man, what if we would have had some fans? You know? Even road games. What if LSU would have had 9,000 screaming fans in College Station when they were close in that game in the third quarter? It gives you extra juice to play with more passion. It's just being a human. I mean, having those fans, you know, screaming for you and cheering you and the band playing. It's different. Hey, look, I'm not complaining. We have sports. We had a football season. Not complaining. I'm just saying. It's changed to where no one has an edge. And I'm sure Saban loved it. because that would have affected Alabama this year. It probably helped his young team. Not that he needed any help. But in close games, there was no advantage against Alabama when they went on the road. And I don't want to take any credit away from Jimbo Fisher at A&M. He did a good job. But if Texas A&M would have had to win on the road and played in some hostile environments, it would have probably been different for Kellen Mond. But Kellen Mond didn't have to deal with any of that. He could hear his plays at Auburn. There was nothing. I'll be glad when we can get all the fans back in a stadium, get football back to the old days of having full-capacity college games and having that spirit fully. And again, not complaining, so grateful that we had football this year. And then you got the NCAA tournament that, you know, less than a couple of months, you know, that helps too. And look at Kentucky basketball. I really believe Rupp Arena is one of the toughest places to play in the United States because of fans. They don't have any fans. And Alabama beat them by almost 20 points yesterday. Alabama basketball. That never happens in Rupp Arena. Kentucky never loses by 20 at home. I think the last time they lost by 20 at home, it was LSU and Dell Brown back in the 80s. But look what it's doing to college basketball by not having that home court advantage. Now, it didn't help LSU when they were playing in Florida. And, boy, Florida barely beat Ole Miss last night in basketball at home. But it's one of those, speaking of basketball, you know, one team can be shooting the ball great one night and then you can go flat. I've known that my whole life, but you got to remind yourself that LSU's like a lot of teams. If you watch basketball this year, there's so much parity that you can't miss one night and you can win by 20 and the next night play a team not as good and lose by 10. That's the kind of college basketball season we're going to have this year. Nobody's really dominant except Gonzaga and Baylor. Everybody else is kind of in this thing together. It's like anybody, you know, the old saying, anybody can beat anybody on any given night or day. And I thought that's the way it was in football outside of Alabama. It's just that Alabama always becomes a great team late in the season. You want to beat Alabama in football? Beat him in the first game of the season, the second game of the season, or the third game of the season. After that, he has already built his new team up. He plays it out right. Look, I want Ed Orgeron to get this team back to new heights. And I think he can at LSU. But he's got to get things cleaned up, and they got to quit selling the NFL with the program. It's got to be LSU. LSU's a strong brand. You don't need to promote NFL in every word you say in recruiting because it becomes the disadvantage of what you're trying to build. You're fighting against what you're trying to build. Have the mentality and the focus of team and championships and management of your roster and management of your program. And I think they can get back. I think Ed Orgeron can get his second chance to get back because this was a horrible season coming off that national championship. Obviously, we don't need to remind anybody, including me. But LSU's very fortunate to have a quarterback to build around in Max Johnson and Nussmeier coming in from Texas. They're very fortunate that the future could be very bright if they can just get the mentality to go back to team, that nobody opts out during a season and in an off season. And if you quit talking about the NFL, then these agents stop coming around as much. It's not in the news as much. It's not in the focus of your players. The focus would be on trying to get better as a team, T-E-A-M. Not me, but we. And look, I mean, how many times do you need to see it with Alabama? They're all about the team. They convince first-round picks to come back to school. If Nick Saban would have lost Najee Harris to the draft and Devontae Smith and Alex Leatherwood and Dylan Moses, they would have lost three or four games this year too, and you would have go, oh, no, yeah, they would have, but he got them to come back. He got these guys to come back because his focus is on let's finish, let's win a championship, and that's what LSU could do regularly if they get that. That's got to be their focus. In school too, like go to school, like, you know, be really proud to go to a college and represent your home state. Most of those Alabama players are representing Alabama. They're not even from Alabama. I hope everybody enjoyed the show today. It was a crazy show. I'm just going back and forth, back and forth. But I hope everybody enjoyed the topic on the NFL draft with the quarterbacks. I mean, six quarterbacks for the first round, that is a lot. It might end up being a record. And you might end up having seven quarterbacks, seven maybe going the first round. That is incredible. The NFL, after next year, will have the most talented amount of quarterbacks that we've ever seen going back to the 80s. The 80s, we had about 12 or 13 Hall of Fame quarterbacks. We're getting back to that pretty soon. Everybody's going to not really need a quarterback pretty soon. Even the bad teams have good quarterbacks now. Even the Jets have a good quarterback. They just got to build around their young quarterback from USC. Friday's show, we're going to have Coach David Feaster, the head football coach at Glenbrook High School in Mendon, Louisiana. It's a MAIS team, meaning they're not a name you hear of very commonly, but Glenbrook is a guy of a lot of talent. David Feaster is the former head coach of Manny High School, former head coach of Parkway High School. I've known him for over 30 years. And he's a genius offensively, and they've got a great staff, and they really had a good year this year at Glenbrook. We're going to have him come on Friday of this week. Until then, I hope everybody has a blessed week and a blessed Wednesday, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.